Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus. And join us today are Ro Long and John Castillo. And they are here representing the Meeple Board Game Society. And they're going to be talking about the society, but also an interesting convention that's coming to UTEP. Ro, John, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Now, as I mentioned, you guys represent the Meeple Board Game Society. And we were discussing before the interview started about board games and what we've played, what we haven't played. Tell us a little bit about the background of this society, Ro, if you wouldn't mind.
So the society's been up for about a year now. About a year ago, me and a couple of friends were talking, and we'd been playing board games, I guess, more than regularly for about 3-4 years. And we looked, and there was no board game club here on campus, so we created one. It seemed like it was needed.
Now, when we talk about board games, and John, you can help me out with this as well. When someone mentions board games, we all have a different perspective. You know, we all have a different image that comes to mind when we say board games. Tell us a little bit about your experience with board games, John.
So I guess growing up, the first board game I got introduced to was Monopoly, which I'm pretty sure a lot of us, that's like one of the first go-to besides chess and checkers and all that. So, I mean, growing up, all you had was a limited amount of games you could purchase, like at the store. And I guess over the years, well, it's probably been more than for a while. Yeah, so all these more, I guess, intellectual games came into play. So, I mean, people who have, like, vivid imaginations, like, that's where these games kind of come into play. So, like, the thing that I see the most is probably, like, role-playing games, RPG. And people really get into it, and, like, they become their own character. And that's, I don't know, like, it transformed from Monopoly all the way to what we have now.
Give us an example, John.
Probably.
One of those games.
It would be D&D, right?
Oh, yeah, Dungeons & Dragons, which has been around for a
while. Been around for a while, yes.
But it's been getting more popular lately from what I can tell on social media.
Well, do you think that everything, you know, we hear about everything coming back. Mm-hmm. And it seems like whatever is now called, you know, retro, instead of saying old, I guess, or vintage, these games are coming back. And so in a way, it's kind of reuniting families because children who are now perhaps, you know, young adults, high school or in college, they can say, oh, look, Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad say, oh, I used to play that game when
right.
I was younger. And it brings a little bit of togetherness. And so for people who may not be into Dungeons & Dragons, give us some more examples of role-playing games.
So role-playing would just be making up characters and building a world around it. So Dungeons & Dragons, you know, you're a warrior, a fighter, Lord of the Rings-style stuff. But there are other role-playing games. There's one called, I think it was the Quiet Year. That one, you're not a person. You are working together to create a society. So you take turns. You're on an island, and problems occur, and you need to work together to make your society flourish or fail if you really want to. So it's really just using your imagination and having a little bit of pen and paper to help you along the way.
John mentioned that his first introduction, as far as he remembers, to board games was Monopoly. What about you?
So mine was probably Monopoly too, or Uno, or Risk maybe. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to actually try to collect as many Monopolies as I could. I had like NASCAR and Pokemon and all these other themed Monopoly games.
Star Wars.
but, you know, since then, probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, somebody introduced me into this game called Catan, The Settlers of Catan. And I was like, okay, so I'll try that. And it was this neat resource gathering game. You take turns, you're on an island, and you're gathering resources to build cities and towns and roads. And you're fighting for resources on this island against other players. But you're not really fighting. You're just kind of trying to get as much real estate as possible.
What about we talked about this before the program started, because, yes, there are all these editions of Monopoly, and there are a lot of games that we pick up at garage sales and go, oh, wow, this is awesome. Haven't played this since I was 10 or whatever.
Right.
Whether it be, Candyland, or I don't remember a lot of those childhood games, because I was out playing in the dirt or something. But what about social media, and how has that changed for the better or for the worse as far as board games?
When I think of social media, I think of cell phones, and Facebook has all these games that are free. So you play them, and you kind of just turn your brain off and click a few things, and you're not really thinking about them, and you're not interacting with other people very much. But board games, you're at a table, you're around friends, or maybe you're around people you don't know, and by the end of it, you feel connected with these people. Like, you've worked together to do something, or you've strategically tried to take them out, but you have to look the person in the eye while you're doing this.
It's a lot more fun just interacting with people than just like a screen or a monitor. It's like I said earlier when we were talking, I get competitive only with games. I'm usually a calm person, but I don't know, like, Ro is the one who really introduced me to all that. So now whenever I'm playing games, I'm just like, nope, that's a technical blah, blah, blah. Can't do that.
And I can tell our audience that, yes, John is a very quiet person. But, as we discussed, John, as you and I were talking, also the fact that some of these board games bring out our personalities, bring out our competitiveness, but it also helps us build relationships with other people. We meet new friends.
Right.
We remember things as a family. I remember we used to play this with my mom and dad or whatever. And that's something that I think has been missing. And so the idea that you guys formed this society, tell us a little bit about the meetings, membership, and, for the benefit of our listeners, if there's someone out there who's interested in board games, perhaps they might have a game that they want to play or bring along. So what are the rules, regulations, and times, dates, everything that you guys do?
So for the Meeple Board Game Society, during the main semesters, which just ended, we would meet every Tuesday from 4:30 to 9 in the student union, and we would play games. We would discuss the upcoming conventions. And something very interesting about this Meeple Board Game Society is we also develop games. So if you are an officer in this club, which we have five, including myself, you are required to be in development of a game. And we haven't published anything yet, but we do have, I think, three or four different games that are pretty solid. That are worth trying. So if you're we're open to everyone. So it's not just students. We have some people that come from off campus. There's a group called SWAG, Southwest Area Gamers. They are a meetup group in the El Paso, Las Cruces area that they meet up and play board games also. So some of them show up. And if you have a certain game that you want to play, more than once, people would show up, say, hey, I have this neat game, and people would play with them just to try out as many games as they can.
Now, you guys have a fundraiser coming up. Tell us about this.
So our fundraiser, we are doing our second fundraiser for the Border City Game Convention, which we'll be having at the end of July, July 29th to the 31st. Our fundraiser is June 18th. It will be at the Student Union, third floor, Thomas Rivera Conference Center room. I think it's room 308. It'll be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. It's absolutely free to attend. So you could just show up anytime you want. We'll have pickup games, which are real simple games that last 5-15 minutes. We'll have other games that people will be teaching. We'll probably have about close to a dozen people willing to teach new games to new people. And we have over 100 games to choose from in our library. We'll have, 16-foot table piled with games that people can check out and play. We'll also be having at least one tournament for a game called Boss Monster. Entry into the tournament is completely free. And if you win, then you get a free copy of the game with, I think, one expansion.
As far as the convention that's coming up at the end of July, for people who may never have been to a board game convention, tell us about what to expect. And this is also unique because of the name that you all.
Right.
And I understand that you came up with that, Ro.
So it was – I think it was – I didn't come up with the name. The name was brought up by our friend Georgie Hinojosa. He's like, why don't you just call it Border City Game Convention? Because we spelled border like board game, B-O-A-R-D. So it says Border City Game Convention, board game. Haha. We also love puns. So at the convention, if you've been to any sort of convention like sci-fi, Comic-Con, an anime convention, it's similar to that, but probably not as much dressing up, more playing games. So we'll have the opportunity for people to schedule games that they really want played that might take longer than just an hour. And if they, you know, they don't want to find people, they can schedule it there and play. We'll have, like I said, over 100 games. We'll have, I think right now we have half a dozen tournaments set up. We'll have panels for like intro to board gaming. So if you're, if you don't know anything past Monopoly and Risk, we'll talk about the different genres, good intro games, games that you should try out and what order. We'll have game development panels. What else will we be having?
Giveaways.
Oh, yeah. We'll have raffles for different games that sponsors have sent us.
Also, the El Paso Improv League will be there entertaining the fellow attendees.
Yeah. So, yeah, the El Paso Improv League will be there having, I think, 2 to 4 shows on Friday and Saturday. At least half the shows will be Dungeons and Dragons based, if you're into that. should be fun. We're collaborating with the Disaster Room, the Escape the Room people. And we're going to have a puzzle room. So you can go there, you have half an hour, you can have a group of 4 people, and you go and try to solve these board game themed puzzles in half an hour as a group.
Is this a regional convention?
Original?
Regional.
Oh, regional?
So not just El Paso?
Oh, right. So we've been promoting to everybody probably all the way out to Dallas. Yeah, so we have a few Dallas people that I think are willing to come.
And you mentioned panel discussions. So is there like a keynote speaker or a panel that really stands out that perhaps people might be interested in?
As of now, not yet. But we are still in the works to get special guests. So if we have one, then we will have them probably try to get the keynote on Friday.
What about ages? Is there like a age range that you're talking about?
So we are pushing for people above 18 and older. The majority of people that I've met that play board games are probably in the 25 to 40, 50 age range. But we don't have a limit. The only rule that we have is that if you bring children under the age of, I believe it was 16 or 17, they must be accompanied by an adult. Just because, you know, people are playing games with a lot of important pieces on the board, and we don't really want children running around and knocking tables over. But at our first fundraiser, there was a few kids, and we didn't have any problems.
Can we talk a little bit more about perhaps some of the games that have come back and are popular again? Of course, you know, Monopoly has always been at the top of the list, as has, I guess, Sorry, Risk. I'm going to show my age here because when I first started teaching here at UTEP was in 1990, and Trivial Pursuit was very popular. And again, like Monopoly, they had different editions, different right. Genres, different takes. So are those type of games still popular, or what's something that just recently has come back perhaps?
So when I think of games that have been around for a while, I think of Magic the Gathering. I don't know if you've heard of it. That's been around for decades now, I think. I'm not sure if that ever died. As far as I can tell, Magic is just as popular then as it is now, if not more so. As for Trivial Pursuit and things like Taboo, I still see Taboo played consistently.
Icebreakers or something, perhaps? Like you said, when...
starting games.
Yes, yes.
Right. So there are a handful of party games. They've gotten a lot more interesting. So like Trivial Pursuit, that you're trying to – you're given a question and you're trying to get the answer, right? So being culturally If you know much about culture, then you'll probably pop culture. Yeah, you'll do well at those. But there's other games like there's like a spy game. There's memory games. What other party games are there? Or they, we call them party games, I guess. They're not really the large groups. 8 people play them.
And as far as games that because you said you had unlimited number, it sounds like it, games in your club. When you guys have meetings, which I think you said when the semester starts on Tuesdays, do people show up and start playing games, or do you have like a short little meeting, discussion? What goes on?
Usually about half hour to an hour meeting, talking about anything new that might be coming up or any tabling we might be doing just to promote the club. And then we just go into games for the next 4 or 5 hours, 4.5 hours, 3.5 hours.
John, tell me a little bit about because I think you and I have a lot in common as far as don't judge a book by its cover, because we tend to be look quiet, but all of a sudden we have this hidden competitive spirit inside of us. Do you still enjoy playing board games, not just like here at school, but perhaps with family, with cousins, friends? And is there something that stands out to you as far as growing up playing board games?
Because I
think sometimes, you know, we're not like families here in El Paso. We're not at the Ozzie and Harriet or Leave It to Beaver. I'm not sure if we had like game nights with board games in, you know, Hispanic families or just here in the Southwest. I'm sure there are. But, you know, the only thing I remember is probably bingo or lotería or playing, you know, some kind of card game with our siblings.
Well, growing up, it was lotería, which we will have at the convention, by the way.
Ah, okay.
Right. So keeping it, you know, classic. So, I mean, since it's right here at the border. I remember playing Jenga a lot, Monopoly, Connect Four, and then like I said, classic stuff, chess, checkers. Like I said, I'm really calm, but when it comes to the games, like, I was really competitive. Like, if they made a wrong move in the chess, I'd like stand up and, you know, shout and be like, I don't think so. And that's why not a lot of people like to play board games with me. But
but he's really a calm person.
Let me tell you that.
As we're wrapping up our interview here, and you know, perhaps there's something that we didn't talk about, we didn't share. If you wouldn't mind giving us like a web address that people can go to find out more about your club and the convention.
Sure. So if we have a website, it's bordercon.com. Of course, you spell border B-O-A-R-D. So B-O-A-R-D-C-O-N.com. And then we also have a very active Facebook. If you just type in Border City Game Convention, the Facebook should pop up, or hashtag BCGC16.
Okay. Thank you so much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Ro Long and John Castillo, talking about the upcoming Border City Game Convention, and that's Border as in B-O-A-R-D-E-R, board games. Also, the Meeple Board Game Society is going to be having a fundraiser on June 18th, and you can find out more information by the webpage that Ro just mentioned a little while ago. Thank you all very much for being with us here. Folks on Campus is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Dennis Wu. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Folks on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.